Happy Easter. Today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. On Good Friday, we contemplated on the fact that Jesus died for us on the cross. In today's reading, we will notice the fact that after 3 days, early in the morning, we met disciples of Christ. They are on their way to the grave. By this time, I'm sure they must have wept enough, they have cried enough, and they have realized that what we thought about Jesus wasn't true. We thought that he would live forever, but right in front of us, he died 3 days ago. Yes, it was a wonderful to walk with Jesus. It was great to see miracles. He was a wonderful person. But eventually, he was misjudged, and eventually he died on the cross. And that is it. And so to get our closer, let us go last time to the grave and do our last rituals, so somehow we get our closer and we can get back to our life, so that we might not dwell in what might have happened, but instead we become real and live in reality. And so with these expectations, these women disciples of Jesus Christ, they went to grave that early morning. But when they reached there, they found out that there were two angels waiting for them to give them the great news that he is not dead anymore. He isn't in the grave anymore, but he is alive. He is resurrected. Now see, there were other disciples of Jesus Christ, 12 more well-known disciples. But as soon as Jesus was given to the religious authority on that Thursday night, they were so scared and they all ran away from him. They had no hope in Jesus. They didn't have any power or strength within themselves. They ran away from Jesus. And so here we have a group of disciples who once upon a time experienced Jesus' teaching and his power, but when the real time came to support Jesus, when real time came to be with Jesus, they were so scared and they left Jesus. And dear people of God, once in a while, I think that we are like these male disciples of Christ, that we hear a lot of sermons, we do a lot of studies, and we have all these teachings about Christ. But when the real stuff happens in our lives, we tend to run away. But I pray this morning that these male disciples, these disciples, eventually Jesus touched them and they experienced living Christ in their life. And after 50 days, they had this miraculous experience of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And once upon a time, these scared disciples of Christ became the witnesses for Christ. And within 100 years of the Christ, the significant part of the world heard the gospel of Christ, because these 12 disciples went all around the world to preach the gospel of Christ. And I pray, dear people of God, that we will experience Christ's touch in our lives. Amen? We will experience this Holy Spirit in our lives so that we might not only hear the good news of Christ, we may not only see the good news of Christ, but we might experience this in our personal lives, and that life and that experience and that power of the Holy Spirit will change us upside down. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about the importance of resurrection in our personal life. And I'm going to invite my brother Greg to come and read scripture for us.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
The importance of resurrection. The first one, resurrection is the foundation of our faith. Resurrection is the foundation of our faith. Please turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor that resurrection is the foundation of our faith. Amen? In the book of Corinthians, St. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth at that time. And he is telling them the importance of resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is what he writes. If crows can't be raised, then Christ wasn't. Because he was indeed dead. And if Christ wouldn't arise, then all you're doing is wandering about in the dark, as lost as ever. It's even worse for those who died hoping in Christ and resurrection, because they are already in their graves. If we all get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're so sorry. But the truth is that Christ has risen. The first is along a legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. In other words, he's saying that we have a glorious hope in Christ because Christ is alive. One day we will be alive too. One day we will come back to life. And if it is not true, dear people of God, we are one of the most pathetic people in the world because we sacrifice a lot to follow Christ. We do things according to the teaching of Christ, and some of those things are hard and difficult. How many of you know that? To forgive your enemies is not that easy. But we follow this Christ and his teaching, believing the fact that since Christ has come back to life, I have a glorious hope in Christ. You know, there are people out there in the world, millions of them, they have suffered because of the gospel. Just last night, as I was on the internet and the news came that 20 people died, and that's all it was. 20 people died and 160 were injured. That was the only news on the top. But deep down, I knew that something has happened somewhere in the world, in the church. And it happened in Colombo, Sri Lanka, that during Easter, somebody came and killed 20 people and injured 160 people. And if Christ has not been raised from his death, their death was a useless death. That death has no meaning whatsoever. But since we believe in Christ and we believe in the fact that Christ has come back to life, there is a meaning to their death. Knowing that one day, the way the Christ has come back to life, they will come back to life and they will be in eternal presence of God forever. This morning, dear people of God, as a Christian, maybe you're struggling some area of your life. Maybe you're wondering that what is the use of doing all this when at the end of the day there is nothing to look for. Let me give you hope. Let me encourage you that there is a glorious hope, and our faith is founded on the fact that our Christ has raised, and so we will be one day. The second thing, resurrection is the foundation of our hope. Resurrection is the foundation of our hope. And since we know that Christ has come back to life, one day we will come back to life. And we know the fact that when we come back to life, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The song which choir sang this morning was about going and waiting for us into heaven. Amen. The glorious hope we have. You know, when we think about heaven, often in the Western world, we don't like to talk too much about heaven, because in the world in which we live, we have a pretty comfortable life, right? It's somewhat like heaven. And when we're living in heaven, we don't like to think about other heaven. Even talking about other heaven seems to be a little bit not right. But there are people out there in the world, dear people of God, they constantly wait for heaven. They constantly look for heaven because their lives are very, very difficult and miserable. You know, when we look at the songs which sung by the slaves in our own country, if you see, most of those songs were about Jordan, about Beulah land, about going to the place where they will be in the presence of God. Some of my favorite songs, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." We have glorious hope in Christ. You see, the scripture says in 1 John chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "Don't let this throw you. You trust God, don't you trust me? There is a plenty of room for you in my Father's home. If that weren't so, I would have told you that I am on my way to get a room ready for you. And if I am on my way to get your room ready, I'll come back and get you so that you can also live where I live." Do you remember when Jesus was on the cross, there were two thieves around him? And one of them said that, "Jesus, please forgive me. And when you go to paradise, please bring me with you." And Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Yes, you are suffering. Yes, your lives are miserable. Yes, there are struggles in your life. Yes, in some parts of the world, you would have to die for your faith. Yes, because you're Christian, you don't get jobs. Yes, because you're Christian, you're in constant danger. But the gospel of Christ, dear people of God, the glorious hope we have is that one day we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, the other day I was listening to NPR radio, and this reporter was talking about few people who lost their faith. And the reporter asked that, "What do you miss most about your faith? What's the big deal about your losing your faith?" And most people say that when I had faith, when I used to go to church, I knew the fact that when I die, I will see my dad back in heaven. I will see my grandfather. I will see my brother. But if there is no God, there is no resurrection. And if there is no resurrection, I'm not going to see my family members. At one point, this woman, she talks about her husband whom she loved so much, and he died just a few months ago. And she said, "When I think about him, all I can think that he's rotting in the ground. And I have no hope. I have no future. I have nothing to look for." What St. Paul is writing, dear people of God, in that regard. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep. And you and I will see our loved ones once again. Amen. That is a glorious hope of resurrection. The foundation of our Christian faith is resurrection. The foundation of our Christian hope is a resurrection. And the foundation of transformed lives is because of the resurrection. You see, we see lots of stories in the Bible here. The stories, like for example, Saint Paul. Once upon a time, he was enemy of Christ. He was enemy of Christians. He would go around and find any Christian and he would persecute them, making sure that they would be completely wiped out from the face of the earth and there is nothing more to deal with it. And the scripture says in Acts chapter 8 that one day while he is on his way to Damascus to persecute Christian, and when he's on his way, he sees this vision of resurrected Christ. And when he sees this vision, Christ asks him, "Saul, what are you doing?" "Well, I was thinking I'm doing your will." "No, you are persecuting me." And from then on, dear people of God, his life was drastically changed. And he wrote significant part of the New Testament because his life was a changed life. His life was a transformed life. He's a new person in Christ. In India, there was this 14-year-old boy, and he used to go to Christian school during British time. And he hated British, and he hated Christian, and he hated missionaries. And one day, this missionary, they give him the New Testament. And he hated Christian and missionaries so much that as soon as he went home, the first thing he did, he torn the New Testament and threw New Testament. And from then on, he had restless nights. He could not sleep. He lost his joy and peace in this life. And it went for months. And at one time, he decided, "I cannot live this life anymore." And so one day, one of the nights, he prays and says, "In India, we have so many gods, and I don't know which one to believe in. And so, this is my last prayer. If there is a God, if there's a real God, I want to see the vision of that God. And if that God doesn't come to me by 3 o'clock this early morning, there's a train behind my house, goes every 3 o'clock at night. I'm going to go and kill myself." Because he could not live his life any longer. He had lost his all joy and peace in this life. And at 2:30 at night, he sees the vision of Christ. Now remember, he is only 14 years old boy, like one of our youth person in the church. He sees the vision of Christ. He wakes up and he tells his dad that, "Dad, I saw Christ in my life. I saw his vision, and I'm a follower of Christ." 14-year-old son, boy, he became the missionary. He had no idea about the church, never seen any other person. He was the first person who brought gospel to Tibet. He would walk from India to Tibet, crossing Himalayas, preaching the gospel. The glorious gospel, dear people of God, resurrection, it changes lives upside down. The story of St. Augustine. His mother used to pray for him, and one day he found Christ. But in the past, he used to live a very loose life. And one day while he's on his way to the church, he hears a voice, a woman's voice from behind, like, "Augustine, Augustine." And he doesn't want to hear her. He wants to go ahead. "Augustine, it's me. Augustine, it's me." And the third time she's screaming, "Augustine, it's me." And Augustine looks back to her and says, "It's no more Augustine. It's Christ that liveth in me." Dear people of God, the glorious gospel of resurrection, it changes lives. It changes lives upside down. I told you so many times about my own life. I was a failing student in the 10th standard. I failed 5 times in one class, a biggest tragedy you can ever have in India. But when Christ accepted me and when I came into the life of Christ, God changed my life upside down. And so I want to send you with this glorious hope. I don't know what's your life this morning. What are your struggles? What are your hopes and dreams? Are you living joyful and peaceful life or not? I don't know. You know your life. You know your struggles. You know your challenges. All I'm telling you, the Christ who is resurrected can change your life upside down. Give your life to Christ and you will experience the greatest blessing ever. You will experience the change beyond your imagination. From murderer of Christ and Christians, you can become the follower of Christ and change the world. From just a normal teenage boy, you can become the follower of Christ and bring gospel to Tibet. A failing student, you can become a person who has a life and meaning and purpose. Let us close our eyes and pray. Gracious God, what a privilege of ours to come in your presence this morning and to remind ourselves once again that you are a resurrected Christ. Because of your resurrection, we have a faith. Because of your resurrection, we have hope. And because of your resurrection, we have a transformed lives. Some of us have experienced that transformation. And others need that transformation. And Lord, we pray, be gracious to us and help us to experience living Christ in our lives. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.